I'm very pleased to welcome back to the show Peter Grandage, where you can find it, petergrandage.com. Peter, much appreciated your finding time for us in the weekend.
Well, Michael, I don't really do secular media now for years, but when Michael Campbell calls, there's no issue for me but to pick up the phone and speak to you.
Well, it's terrific to hear your voice, and I got to tell you, you were on my mind because it was around this time last year you said, look, you got to be considering getting into the gold market, you know, related investments. And you said, which I want to just repeat here, you said it was a better opportunity than general equities, you know, in the overall stock market over the next period. Then in April again, when you're with us, you said, look, if you haven't got on that train, buy a ticket and get on board. And, I mean, that was when we're talking about $1,200 gold. Obviously, it's done a great deal since then. So let me just start by asking you, what's your take on the market, just the broad stacks on what your take on the market is today?
So when it comes to gold, in fact, when it comes to anything now, I am no longer a registered investment advisor. Everything I speak about is simply from a private investor standpoint. I don't work for any gold company. I don't profit in any way from being bullish on it other than for my own greedy self. And with that in mind, I wrote a report for our blog the other day saying that the easy part now is behind us for gold. Not that it's coming to an end, but hindsight is, of course, 2020. But I think it'll be more challenging going forward to make gains, although I do believe within 3 years or less we'll make a nominal new high in gold. But we're probably the most overbought I've ever seen in the technical work I've done. We've seen a lot of people who just a few months ago laughed and scoffed at gold, now wanting to know, is it too late to get in? And those are just signs where at least some consolidation would be worthy and even a minor correction. But I think longer term, we still have a lot of ways to go on the upside.
But it's interesting. And also, you know, up until last summer, you had not been in the gold market for quite a while. I mean, that was a sort of a turning point in your analysis where you said, hey, I think it's time.
Yeah, I had exited actually working the metals and mining industry in 2014 and pretty much hadn't been involved or even watched the day-to-day. But this time last year, a lot of things suggested gold was going to enter a new, what I have coined, a mega bull market. At the same time, the stock market to me appeared that it really couldn't match those gains. In fact, this past April, I even wrote a report that I feel, and I know you're still bullish, and I'm not here to contest with you, but I'm just sharing about myself, but I really feel that there won't be another mega equity bull market in my lifetime. I really think there are a lot of problems, more than we've ever seen. I know you and I have been in this 35, 40 years, and so I really just thought that gold had a much better opportunity to the upside, and sure enough, gold's up about 30% in the last year. Anything related to it, it's up 100%. And the stock market is basically flat to some areas actually down. So up until now, it's been the right choice. But in this business, even though I'm not in that business of soothsaying anymore, you're still only as good as your last call, and you can't really rest on your laurels.
Now, you've also told me in the past that gold sort of has and you told our audience, by the way, three stages to go through. Can you give us, you know, sort of what phase one and phase two and phase three were, or are we in, or where are we at now?
Sure. So you're right. When I initially got involved, I told my readers and clients that there were three stages. The first was, and everybody knew this, we had to break above what had been for years great resistance between 1350 and 1400. We did that. The second was, I said, when we do at that point, we're going to run to about 1,500. At that point, somewhere on either side, there'll be a line in the sand attempt by the last or whatever remains of the gold bears, or what I've coined the don't worry, be happy crowd on Wall Street. You know, listeners of yours should know by now that gold is kryptonite to the financial service industry, who makes a living selling financial assets. And most of the financial media who's tied to the hip of those folks are never going to put out good, positive reports on gold. So it's never going to be something that the average person is going to hear, or the common crowd is going to be in it, probably till the end of whatever this run will be. And that's what we're kind of going through now. I personally would rather see it go more sideways for some time than continue up, because there's a lot of overextension when you look at it technically. But there's a lot of things also happening around the world. You were talking earlier, I was listening online about Hong Kong. I mean, that unfortunately looks like it's only going to get worse. There's other geopolitical problems that aren't getting on the front page right now, especially in the Middle East. And then there's a whole variety of things socially, politically, and economically to support gold going forward. So whether or not there's a correction, the risk right now looks about worse to 1480. I think if we broke below that, then the correction could be more serious. But someone said to me this past week, that's the only trader that I ever met that's made money trading, I never did, said to me that in new mega bull markets, they stay very overbought for a long time, which doesn't allow people who've missed the initial move to get in before, and then they usually get in towards the end. So I think, like I said, I'd still be saying that gold got a lot further to go in it, and the general equity market, to me, at best, may go sideways, but I think there's a lot of risk to substantial to the downside.
Just back to something you were saying, Peter, that you know gold is ignored or hated by a lot of the financial industry. Would that be a sign of a top when they came on board? You know, like you can't, it like just goes up so much they finally can't pretend it doesn't exist?
Yeah, I think when you see a certain network down here in the U.S. start having people touting gold, that might be a major, major signal, other than the guy that rings bells and screams and pulls whatever hair he has left in his head. But the bottom line is, I don't think we'll ever get to that point until A, gold's a lot higher and the stock market has finally caved to levels, you know, a lot lower than they are now. Until that time, and this is a good point, Mike, and may segue into if you want to talk equities. I think one of the issues that we have now in the financial industry in general is the lack of experience. You know, two-thirds of the industry, the people here in the U.S., I can't speak to Canada, but statistically in the U.S., have only been in practicing since 2000, and almost 40% have only been practicing since the last financial crisis. So I think there's a lot of lack of experience of driving on two-way streets. They've been very used to, and that's why they keep screaming for the punch bowl and the Fed to keep feeding the punch bowl, because they really haven't learned to drive yet on two-way streets. You and I are old enough to remember not only when there was two-way streets, but when interest rates used to be so high that banks used to give you toasters if you put money in the bank. Now they're going to give you the honor of paying them to allow you to hold on to that money. So I really think we've made about 180 degrees from where we were 40 years ago. And that also plays into the gold reason. I mean, gold has really been, it was even cast aside by what was ever left of the hard asset crowd. They went into pot, they went into currencies, you know, cryptocurrencies and things of that nature. And I really just think gold is in the infancy of a mega bull market, but do, and it'd be reasonable and it'd be healthy for it to go through some consolidation here right now.
So you know where I'm coming from on this. My time frame is about 2 years out, and then I think there's some real problems. But my order of the problems are Europe's first. I think Europe's going to have a horrendous year. What's happening with Boris Johnson is big. What's happening in Hong Kong is may be bigger in the end. But the U.S. is the beneficiary of that money coming in looking for safety, and that comes to an end in 2 years. That's why when I say I'm a long-term bull, that's what I mean by long-term. It's over the next 2 years. And I want to talk to you about what's concerning you and why you think it's the last great bull market.
So let me begin, and so people understand that I made a decision several years ago to move away and focus on my faith, which is a Christian faith, and build a lot of my or most of my decision makings from what Christians call the manual life, the Bible. And so anytime that I talk about things, it goes back to the foundations and things that are taught there. Most people, whether they're spiritual or not, Christian or any other faith, should know that in that book, whether it's just a historical book or a faith book, the second most talked about topic in it is matters of finance. So if it's had such an influence on people, good or bad, the very fact that finance has spent so much time on it, it's worth reading. But that aside, looking at things, as you said, your argument could be that, I mean, that is distinct. That is going to happen. People are going to still seek places to go. The issues that I have, some of them are old. People heard them enough. I think you talked about it earlier in your opening in your show. We have a big pension crisis. In fact, I've just written here in my own state, New Jersey, now looks worse even than Illinois. And Mary and I have, and I've talked to my readers that I've considered actually moving out of the state because of what's happening here as a sanctuary state and things of that nature. So we have a both political and social issues here. I speak this morning. I made a blog podcast about another issue, and that hasn't even really hit the discussion level yet, and that is with all the negative interest rates and all the talks about low interest rates and zero rates and all, people haven't discussed what's that going to do to people that have made financial plans based on certain returns, Mike, the old 4% return rules. And that's used in Canada and the U.S. There's really no difference there. Well, you know what? It's going to become very difficult soon to try to earn 4 or 5% when you're going to have to pay a bank just to hold on to your money. And that opens up a whole can of worms for people that have retired or were planning on retiring, et cetera, et cetera. Now, early on, that's helped the stock market because people have chased and gone into dividend-type stocks that 10 or 20 years ago would have never considered that because there was safe principal income-oriented products for them to buy. And maybe that has helped and maybe even help a little bit longer the stock market. But those companies are going to have difficult time supporting those dividends if indeed what we're seeing, the turn down in the economy, taking hold not only across the world but here in the United States. But the big thing that I think has happened, and if you ask me, Pete, if you picked one thing that if we talk a year or two from now, Mike, that God keeps us alive to enjoy what he's put good on this earth, I think it's the President of the United States. I think he's become such a lightning rod, and he's really, as I call, bet the ranch on the stock market. To the point, and let's be candid, or at least I feel I'm being candid, he fibbed last week. We had a market that had a real bad down Friday. It looked like it was going to open really bad all over the world again. And suddenly he said the Chinese called and they want to talk about trade. And the Chinese basically said, what call? We don't know anything about a call. Mm-hmm. But it stemmed the market. And the reason I say that is when you got to get to that point where you have to keep jawboning and, in fact, maybe even fib, the market is really towards the end of whatever it may be. If that's what you have to resort to and pure fundamentals can't carry you. And I just think that the left here is going to has finally recognized that calling for investigations to Russia and all this other stuff is useless and are now going to focus on the economy, which is clearly weakening. And that, in turn, is really a volatile guy there. I mean, this man can say or do anything, especially with the Twitter, and sometimes it works great because he says something and it goes up, but I think it can come back to bite him. So I really think there's just too much risk and not enough reward left to have large exposure to equity, especially if you have to hope to use that principle in the next few years. If you're younger and have 20, 30 years still in front of you before you have to call on your principal, I think you could be more risk-oriented. But people like myself, 63, and I have what they call, Mike, the 5 to 15-year plan. If you had to bet how long Pete's going to live, pick somewhere between 5 mm-hmm. and 15 more years. And I really think during that period it's going to be very tough to see us up 50 or 100% again, and I think we can see ourselves 20, 30, 40, even 50% down. So for me, I just want to err on the side of caution. I want to be a live chicken versus a dead duck, so I'd rather own no stocks than a lot of stocks.
I loved you've written about this, but the U.S. I think people are naive and they think, oh, it's Democrat or Republican. I love that you've written there's so much collision between fact and fiction. You know, it's just one big junkyard out there.
Yeah, and both sides, please.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what
I'm saying.
There's
no
it's
one side that is totally right in all this. But what's happened is that decency in the way that we used to live or made both our countries good for the last couple hundred years is being lost. And without that, without willingness to give, it becomes extremely volatile and eventually comes completely violent. And that's unfortunately what we're facing down the road unless, you know, there's a major change. And I just don't see, you know, as a Christian, I feel saved. But at the same time, in this natural life that I still need to live out, I'm very, very concerned that things have to get a lot worse before they can get better.
And let me just say, what
I'm
are you?
I'm the Giants now, Mike. I just don't want to confuse you now with the New York Giants.
You know me. I'm optimistic as usual.
Okay, hey. Buddy. Well, we got a quarterback of the future, so that's don't worry about this year. Even if Eli can't go, they got a new guy to come in to take care of the next 10 years.
Well, that's what I'm hopeful. Hey, something else you said, which I just love the way you put it, but, you know, the old America, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, but you've written, America's been robbing Peter to pay Paul, but Peter's broke, which, of course, as you say, I mean, one of the great warnings of the Christian faith is the dangers about excessive debt. Well, we're there.
Yeah, real quick, Mike. It's a great book, whether you believe it's religious or not, and the author or authors of it don't say one positive thing about debt. And if you really read what they write about debt, it helps explain why we're at the issues that we're at now because of debt. So it's really something, like I said, I think caution is the way to go here. And ever on the side of caution, and it's okay to be a live chicken for, you know, for the first time in several decades.
Great stuff as always with Peter Grandage. And I want to again recommend go to petergrandage.com. You can listen to the podcast, et cetera. But I would recommend go to resources, look at the book, Confessions of a Wall Street Whiz Kid. Peter, thanks so much for finding time this weekend. It's always a pleasure.
All the best. God bless to all your listeners, Mike.